I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Much better. You sound much better, and we're doing very well right now, Mary Kay. We hope the same to you and yours. Mary Kay joining us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Find her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. So we hear some news today. We'll get to the news of the day right now, and then we'll move on to Quisia Dofu Mensa and everything else. First off, though, Nathaniel Hackett looks like he's going to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Can't help but try to start to put two and two together. You think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up there? Does he stay in Green Bay? Let's do some speculation here to start things off, Mary Kay. What do you got?
Well, you know, I think it would be a natural, obvious connection for him to end up with the Broncos now, again, with Nathaniel Hackett getting hired there. Obviously his OC for a while, he thinks very highly of him, and it seems like it could possibly be setting up that way, and I'm sure that came up in the interview process with Nathaniel Hackett. It probably did. So that could be, who knows, it could be the start of the QB carousel that will be going on here over the next month or so.
Yeah, obviously, Mary Kay, it's something we're going to talk about, whether or not they can upgrade the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's not like he's really been linked to the Browns, but when he's there in the Vegas odds, and I know Vegas doesn't know everything, but they do know a lot, and it seems interesting. Pittsburgh was up there as well. I know he's a temperamental guy. You have a little bit of a connection there with your OC. Outside of that, can the Browns make a big case behind the scenes to somebody like Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I've linked the Browns to Aaron Rodgers because of Alex Van Pelt. He thought very, very highly of Alex Van Pelt. They spent 7 years together, the last four of which Alex Van Pelt was his quarterback's coach. And that's such a close relationship that you have with your QB coach. And in 2014, his first year as his quarterback's coach, he made his second NFL MVP award. So I do think that you know, it shouldn't be 100% completely ruled out. Now, it does seem like it's shaping up to be more of a Broncos type of thing, but you can never say never, and that's the point that I've been trying to make with this. If a team has money or can create cap space, if a team also has a good defense, a good offensive line, and a good running game, those things are attractive to good quarterbacks that want to win Super Bowls. So for those reasons, I don't think we should scoff at some of the bigger name quarterbacks that might become available.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, I can't tell, you know, them to not look into these sort of things as much as I, you know, I want to hope that that happens. But, you know, one of the interesting things that was brought up a couple weeks ago, Adam the Bull had said that he had gotten texts saying that, well, you know, that Andrew Berry might be willing to move on, and Paul DePodesta might, I almost said Tagliabue, Paul DePodesta might be willing to move on, but, you know, Jimmy Haslam's going to be a hard sell. And I had to say, yeah, I can see where Jimmy Haslam might be thinking that way because, you know, you did all this for this number one pick. It'd be hard for me to move on because, you know, you've moved on from guys before, and you've tried to redo this whole thing again, and that's a very difficult process, Mary Kay.
Well, Jimmy wants to win. Jimmy Haslam is almost impatient to win, and he's letting his football people do their job. And if they feel like there's an upgrade out there and they need to go get it and they need to be aggressive, then Jimmy will be on board with that. And I don't know where they stand on any of these things yet, but I do know that they owe it to themselves and to their fans to make sure that they have the best player they can get at every single position. And that will include at least inquiring about or kicking the tires on or doing their due diligence on some of the quarterbacks who are becoming available.
Boy, Mary Kay, we heard the Giants definitively say no to Deshaun Watson yesterday, and we know that the Browns have taken some chances on some guys that have had some ugly off-the-field incidents. Obviously, Kareem Hunt, Malik McDowell, they've given many chances to somebody like Josh Gordon. Dee Haslam sits on the conduct committee. What do you think their thoughts would be on someone like Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think they will be keeping an eye on it. I think they will be curious to see how it all plays out legally. And, once again, I think they kind of have to. When you have a talent like that available, you want to at least be aware of what's going on. Now, in the final analysis, they might come to the conclusion that sort of thing, the off-the-field issues that he had, regardless of, if he gets cleared legally and he is proven innocent, well, that changes the story completely. If there is still some shadow of a doubt, you'd have to go through a long process of rehabilitation and evaluating this whole situation. But I'm just saying that I think that they will at least keep an eye on how this thing is going to go legally.
What did Kwesi Adofu-Mensah do for the Cleveland Browns helping out Andrew Berry?
Well, he was basically what Andrew Berry was in some ways to Sashi Brown in those years and what he was to John Dorsey in those years. Basically his, right-hand man and almost an assistant GM type of role. So, that really prepares him for what he's about to do. And he assisted on everything, contracts, player evaluation, free agency, you name it, he did it all. And Andrew, I'm sure, just like Kevin does with the coaches, I'm sure Andrew let him get his hands into every single thing that he could so he was ready for this next move.
Would this possibly grease the rail on a move with Kirk Cousins then?
Well, I think it would be a lot easier to have a conversation with somebody that you know that well and you just spent the past 2 years working side by side with. So, yes, I think that that it does make it a lot easier to have that discussion and probably – maybe even sooner than later.
In your personal opinion, would Kirk Cousins be that much of a help to the Cleveland Browns in their ultimate goal of reaching Super Bowl 57 or 58?
Well, once again, like most of these other guys that could become available, I think it's worth looking into and examining because Kirk Cousins almost always ends up in the top 10. This year, I think he was maybe even fourth in terms of rating or fifth. And he always ends up there with a lot of touchdown passes, very few interceptions. He knows this offense like the back of his hand. He's got a great relationship with Kevin Stefanski, which, of course, is vitally important, as we have mentioned so many times before. The play caller and the quarterback have to be in lockstep, and those two would be. We do know that. So I think it's something to explore and look into. And from a financial standpoint, he's due to make $35 million in base salary next year, so you really would have to, make way for that and make room for that somehow. But it's definitely something they should be looking into.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Listen closely to this. Somebody from 92.3 The Fan said, quote, "No matter how many screenshots of stats you tweet, Kirk Cousins is the leftover pot roast your dad pulls out of the fridge with hardened, wobbly gravy all over it that he takes a whiff of and says, 'Come on, boy, that there's good eating now.'" Do you agree with that?
That's funny. No, I don't. Just because if you dig into a lot of those Kirk Cousins numbers, there are some pretty good numbers, including when he was with Kevin Stefanski in 2019. His rating was 107.4. He threw 26 touchdown passes against only 4 interceptions that year. There are some things to like about him, and he would have a really, really good supporting cast here. And once again, Kevin knows him. They work well together. So, no, I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to explore that as an option.
Mary Kay Cabot, join us on the hotline. You never want to overreact to other teams making a playoff run. We see sometimes how they can come and they can go. Jacksonville Jaguars were one play away from going to the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles and Doug Marrone as their head coach. With all that said, should the Browns have some sort of strong reaction to what's going on with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is where the bar is set now. You look at Joe, you look at Josh Allen, you look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Joe Burrow just took the Bengals to the AFC. He's one game away from the Super Bowl in his second season, coming off of a torn ACL. So he didn't even have a full rookie season. So absolutely, 100%, they have to be looking at that because that is their competition for the next decade.
But the reason I asked the question, Mary Kay, is, you know, we thought that the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, after he won the MVP, he lost in the playoffs a couple times, then he won, but then it looked ugly again. So last year, injuries and everything. What I mean by that is, do we think that we have to be aggressive at quarterback just because Joe Burrow put together a season like that? Or can the Browns really stay within themselves and just keep building the way that they feel that they need to build on their own timeline?
Well, I think they have to look at what happened on divisional weekend and understand, and they do, of course, understand the landscape before them and what the competition is and where the bar is set. And you have to be able to engage in those kinds of shootouts, and you have to have a top-notch passing game. And for the most part, a really, really good quarterback or excellent quarterback play to get there. 6 of the 8 quarterbacks in the divisional round were in the top 10 in quarterback rating. 6 of the 8 also had 34 touchdown passes or more. This is not to say that Baker Mayfield can't do those things, because I thought he was poised to do those things this year. And maybe he will do them next season when he is healthier and when some things around him are going much better.
Is Baker going to stay off social media? How long will he?
Come on, Ken.
What did you told me to ask that question?
Come on.
You told
this
me
is
to ask
a low
that
blow.
Question.
Fans are going to get sick and tired
you
of this.
You bastard. You told me to ask that question.
Eric, I have no idea what he's talking about.
It's uncalled for, Ken.
I'm out.
Anyway, I guess he asked the question.
You host the son of
you might as, you might as well give the answer now that Ken asked the question, of which I found was, you know, a little bit hack.
Well, you know, I do think it's probably a good idea, because over the next 6 weeks or so, there is going to be a lot of quarterback speculation, and it probably is best for him, if he can do it, to stay out of the fray a little bit and just to kind of rise above it and do what he needs to do right now, which is study some film, get in his playbook, and do whatever he can aside from throwing the ball to prepare for the 2022 season. So I don't think it is the worst thing in the world for him to set that aside for a while.
No, I think it's a really good move. I do. I think all of us at times need periodic absence from social media as Ken trudges back into the studio. But one thing I am curious about, Baker, because we've talked about...
I washed my hands literally and figuratively of this show.
I wondered, Mary Kay, what his offseason is going to be like with the limitations surrounding his recuperation from the injury, and how also the things that we thought he was so good at when he came into the league, being able to read defenses, we thought accuracy was going to be there, the ability to draw play on a whiteboard. That's what I'm nervous. I know he's going to be healthy when he comes back next year. I'm worried about the game mentally, because it seemed to escape him at the end of the year when he panicked in the pocket. He almost... ran himself into how many sacks in the Pittsburgh game. They were basically taunting him to throw the ball. They were knocking balls down at the line of scrimmage, as has been the theme, especially during the second half of the year. How can he get past all the mental stuff?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, defenses are playing him differently, and I think that the adjustments need to happen from that. I think that the coaching staff and Baker Mayfield, they need to figure out what to do in terms of him maybe not always being able to use the play action rollout game. So that's one thing. But then you play with a lot more confidence when you have guys out there making amazing plays for you. I didn't look out there and see any Jamar Chases, and I didn't see any Davante Adams. I didn't see any Tyreek Hills out there for the Cleveland Browns this year. So he needs players around him like that. You gain confidence when, you know, you fire the ball and somebody makes a tremendous, amazing catch downfield. That didn't happen enough. He had 25 guys dropped his passes, which was way up there in the league. I think it was something like 9th, depending on what site you're looking at in terms of drop percentage. I think that he lost a little bit of the confidence to stay within the pocket and go through his reads because of what was happening at the tackle positions, and they have to fix that as well. So he had a lot of extenuating circumstances around him. I think he needs to rebuild his confidence, and I think that's imperative.
Do you see Myles Garrett's tweet with the picture of him with his shirt open and then all the messages he was getting from the NFL about taking a performance-enhancing test? I have a theory to run by you. You ready?
Sure. Got it.
So technically he ended up having a 6-game suspension, right, when he hit Mason Rudolph with the helmet, right?
Right. Yep.
Can you confirm or disconfirm that there would probably be people in the NFL, while they can't, nothing is on record, would go, okay, it's a 6-game suspension for him, but we are going to make his life a living hell for the rest of his career. What say you?
You know what? I think there are some guys that get themselves into a situation where the NFL decides that they're going to test them, you know, maybe more than other people. And you're never really quite sure why. There could be a reason.
Is the NFL body shaming Myles Garrett? Are they body shaming him?
No.
Sounds like they are.
Not body shaming him. I remember this used to be an issue with Odell all the time, too, with feeling like he was getting over drug tested. But I just think it's something that you kind of, you would be better served by not drawing attention to it and just kind of letting that fly under the radar. Because sometimes I think when you do draw attention to it, then they're going to do it more. So if I were Myles, I'd probably dial that back a bit.
I'm just saying, I wonder how many PED tests Hank Fraley or Ted Washington had while they were here. Something to think about. Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.